And this is New England Public Radio News. The Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams was already one of the largest contemporary art museums in the country before a huge expansion opening this weekend. The renovation of two existing buildings on the museum's campus and installation of enough art to fill the new space took a year and a half and cost about $50 million. New England Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin takes us on an advanced tour.
On a recent afternoon, workers put finishing touches on new galleries at MassMoC. The museum in downtown North Adams occupies a series of disused factory buildings. They were once home to a textile mill called Arnold Printworks. If you already thought MassMoC's 130,000 square feet of gallery space was a lot, you were right. So picture this. That square footage doubles on Sunday when the museum unveils its latest renovation. A three-story building that was once the Printworks dye house.
Yes, we are in the very nose end of Building 6, the far end of MassMoC's campus.
That's curator Denise Markonish.
It's a double-height space with almost a full two-story window looking out at the area where the two branches of the Hoosick River reconverge.
So with so much new gallery space, how do you fill it all?
That's always the loaded question.
One answer is to reconfigure the space to fit groups of works by single artists on long-term loan. The warehouse floor plan started as a large grid with rows of 60 columns apiece. Now, all that raw space has been sculpted into different shapes. There are long, open expanses flooded with natural light and tightly cloistered galleries where you might forget you're on a former factory floor. A chunk taken out of the ceiling makes room for a large-scale sculpture by Louise Bourgeois. Near that is a maze-like series of printed panels by Robert Rauschenberg. And then there are the musical instruments. They're almost comically oversized, built by the late Bennington College professor Gunnar Schoenbeck. Musician Mark Stewart curated the Schoenbeck exhibit. He says the message to museum goers is, please touch the art.
This is a single-string fiddle. He made a whole family of these, different sizes, and they're actually played with a stick. And you can imagine when you have a little gaggle of these all playing together, it's really quite festive.
Stewart says visitors to this gallery are invited to make some noise, regardless of musical training.
People immerse themselves in sound and in improvisation because that's really all that's going on in there. You cannot play Melancholy Baby or Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. You can find what you are interested into. You can delight yourself and you can delight your neighbor or you can delight your family.
That immersive spirit carries over to a virtual reality installation by multimedia artist Laurie Anderson. And light sculptor James Terrell created an otherworldly white room. Visitors can walk into it and get enveloped in a disorienting bath of LED light. That piece is so immersive, it requires a safety disclaimer when museum director Joe Thompson leads a preview tour.
If any of you are photosensitive to stroboscopic effect, now would be a time to leave. because when it happens, it's quite powerful. You can literally see the back of your eye. You'll see the vein structure and the rods and cones on the back of your eye.
Such warnings were not necessary back in 1999, when MassMoC first opened on a portion of its current footprint.
When we began MassMoC, it was simple. It was going to be large spaces for large works of art that sat there, a depot.
The museum's growth since then includes renovation of adjacent space it rents out to about 30 businesses and development of performing arts events like its own Bluegrass Festival and a music festival curated by the rock band Wilco, which returns in June.
The sort of gradual, steady re-inhabitation of this site has been immensely satisfying, but it's also been unpredictable.
Unpredictability is not the first quality that large art institutions look for. But for this museum, on this post-industrial site, it might be just the thing that makes it all work. For New England Public Radio, I'm Jeremy Goodwin.